Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Department of Education has now issued guidance on prayer and religious expression in public schools, and this certainly should have an impact on after-school Bible clubs. We'll talk about these developments on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, it's been very encouraging to see how the Trump administration is really not only protecting our religious freedom, but helping to promote it for Christians. And here is an example. The U.S. Department of Education, led by Secretary of Education Linda McMahon, has issued a guidance on constitutionally protected prayer and religious expression in public elementary and secondary schools. Now, I remember, you know, growing up a few years ago in the elementary school, and it was not an issue back then, but I think eventually it's been under attack. So now we're coming back full circle and saying that we need to respect the rights of others, and that students, teachers who want to pray in the public school, not on behalf of the school itself, but aligned with their own religious beliefs.
Well, the guidance actually has a number of key points, and it says that students, teachers, and other school officials have the right to pray in school as an expression of their individual faith, as long as they're doing so on their own individual behalf. It also says that public schools, while they may not sponsor prayer or coerce pressure of students, they certainly should not restrict prayer and allow the freedom of religious expression to take place in the public school environment.
Yeah, and this guidance actually supersedes and replaces the Department of Education's guidance on constitutionally protected prayer and religious expression that was issued under the Biden administration. And thankfully, that document is no longer in effect. So now we have this new guidance, which says that public schools can regulate student speech that materially disrupts classwork or involves substantial disorder or invasion of the rights of others. For example, a student can't pray out loud during math class in a way that prevents others from learning, provided such disruptions are handled consistently with other forms of speech.
Yeah, that's just pretty much common sense. You know, in math class, you're there for math. You don't interrupt and just stand up in the middle of class and start
right.
speaking or praying. But, you know, on the other hand, you have to also give equal treatment to how they do secular speech. And so it says, for example, that religious speech should be treated the same as secular speech. For example, it says an essay with religious content should be graded by the same academic standards as a secular essay of similar quality.
And also religious student organizations, like as you mentioned earlier, like we represent CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, those clubs should be always treated the same, given the same support, the same favor as secular organizations.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about our case involving Child Evangelism Fellowship in just a moment, but that is very critical for these after-school Bible clubs, because what we see too often is that these Christian clubs are mistreated and they're discriminated against with regards to equal access compared to other similar secular clubs. This guidance talks about how the Lemon Test has been overruled and how also parents have rights to direct the education of their children from recent Supreme Court cases in 2022 and 2025. It says today's guidance, or the guidance that they issued at that time, involves three key protections under the First Amendment. One, the right of parents and children to freedom of speech. Two, the right of parents and children to freely practice their religion. And three, the obligation of public schools to avoid establishing or endorsing a religion. Now, the interesting thing is the whole establishment of religion has been completely changed since the Lemon versus Kurtzman decision of 1971 has been overruled, because that was a bad decision from the 1970s. And so what the Supreme Court now says is that the First Amendment Establishment Clause needs to be interpreted according to its original understanding, historical understanding, and purpose, essentially meaning that what its original understanding and purpose is that the government, particularly the federal government, but certainly the government, should not coerce participation or restrict by coercion participation in religious expression or religious activity.
Absolutely. I mean, this is like a breath of fresh air. And recently the president signed this executive order and establishing the White House Faith Office, which he wholeheartedly agreed to establish this faith office. And he's established his faith office to honor and enforce the Constitution's guarantee of religious liberty and to ending any form of religious discrimination by the federal government. That is truly a breath of fresh air. No other president has done such.
Yeah, that is an amazing development because under George W. Bush, you had the faith-based initiative, but it was nothing like what President Trump has done with this faith office. That's a real faith office that's really designed to be promotion of faith and making sure that all the barriers to faith are removed from the government restrictions.
Yeah, and every department he has, for example, a Department of Agriculture, the Department of War, they all have a representative from the faith office in those each of those offices.
Yeah, in fact, a good friend, Alveda King, is the faith representative in the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
So it's really quite amazing to see the transformation. Well, this hopefully could help some of our cases. We have represented Child Evangelism Fellowship for about 25 years, and we have never lost a case after it has gone to the final appeal. We've lost one in the lower court, one at the Court of Appeals, but we have a number of cases pending. We have just filed a case in Illinois against the Illinois School District. We filed on behalf of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois against the Moline Coal Valley Community Unified School District for unlawfully denying the Good News Club's equal access to three elementary school facilities while allowing similar non-religious organizations. The lawsuit is now filed in Illinois, names the superintendent and the district's Board of Education on account of more than five years of unconstitutional religious discrimination by the district against CEF's after-school programs. And in fact, this goes back to 2020, mm-hmm. When COVID happened and they began to stop all schools and therefore all clubs. And then when they started the clubs again, they began charging, they put Good News Clubs in what they call Category 2. Category 2 are church-affiliated groups, meaning that if you're in Category 2, you must pay a facility use fee to use the facility. Whereas if you're in Category 1, you don't need to pay that. So groups like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girls on the Run, YMCA, and the Little League, they are in the category that does not require payment to use the facility.
Category 1, I think they call
that. Category yeah, Category 1. So they're in Category 1. Good News Club should be in Category 1, meaning that they're no different in terms of what they do when you compare them to the Scouts, Girls on the Run. They are after-school clubs like the Scouts, like Girls on the Run, like the YMCA, like the Little League, that actually have a program for the elementary school students after school.
But you know, the CEF club in this school district has been meeting. However, they've been having to pay every time. So they've racked up over $5,000 in fees where these other groups are not being charged.
Yeah, so the other groups are not being charged. So we're asking for a court to rule that this is unconstitutional and for the refund of more than $5,300 in these discriminatory usage fees to be repaid and for the policy to be rewritten. And also the policy is not only charging Good News Clubs, but also prohibits Good News Clubs from the flyer distribution program so that these other clubs, they can have a flyer going home with their students to the parents to let the parents know that these opportunities are available. You can have Boy Scouts, Girls on the Run, YMCA, Little League, etc. And the parents can make a choice. The Good News Clubs are prohibited from allowing the flyers to go home. So the parents don't even know it exists. and then they're being censored so that the parents don't even know it's a possibility for their student.
Of the CEF, the Good News Clubs have an event coming up. That's probably what they would send the flyers home with students to let the parents know, because the parents do need to give permission to, for
or,
the
you know,
students.
Even at the beginning of the year, here's some of the opportunities for you
right.
to use for your, you know, consider. And they're not allowed to do that. So this is a recent lawsuit that we filed in Illinois. Continue to pray about this, because this is a critical time, the 4 to 14 window, so critical in the life of a child in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/CEF.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.